our will, if you will, is what I've titled it. And it sounds familiar. I don't know if that's one of the pastor's titles or not. It seems awful familiar. But anyway, it's, I was seeking the Lord last night what direction to go, and felt like this is where he is leading me. I'm going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 as we begin. It says here, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And let's all look to the Lord. And the Father, we are thankful, God, for the privilege to share your word tonight. Lord, we just pray, God, you speak to hearts, Lord. And just have your way, Lord. And just ask God that you help me tonight, Lord. God, just have your way as we share your word tonight. We'll praise and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for standing. Amen. So the Lord says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's something the Lord says we must do. It's not optional. If we expect to make it into heaven, we're going to have to learn to be a forgiver. And there's going to be opportunities every day, whether they're big or small. You know, there's things that come our way. And the Bible said the offenses will come our way. You know, it says, we have plenty of opportunities to pass that test, you know, if we do it the right way. But if not, you know, the Lord sees that and he'll keep working on us. But he told us this morning he's coming soon. And just like the rich young ruler, the Lord said, "One thing thou lackest." I don't want the Lord to tell me, you know, there's one thing keeping you out of heaven, you know. And, you know, it's going to affect our prayer life. If we have unforgiveness in our life, it will hinder your prayers. They will not be answered. And Mark 11 and 25, it says, "For when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." And I don't think there's a single one of us throughout life that hasn't had some kind of need for forgiveness. I mean, only Christ is the only one. And he was the only perfect one. And there's never going to be another like him. So we definitely need the Lord's help. And I want to go to Genesis 50, verse 15. And this is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph, his amazing life that he lived, all the opposition that came from him, even from young life all the way to later in life, seemed like everything was going against him, even though God was with him all the way, you know, and blessed him everywhere he went. There was a lot of opposition came his way. Had many opportunities to get sour and get hardened, but he never did. He was one that always looked to the Lord. Genesis 50, verse 15. "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all of the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph went when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said to them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it was. It is this day to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nurse you, your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And we know the story how there was a famine that came in the land at that day. And Joseph had dreams when he was a young boy. And he went and told his brothers and his parents that they would bow down and worship him. The younger would be honored by the older, but they took it wrong, and they didn't think it was from God, and they had a bad spirit towards him because of what he had said. But we see that God kept his word to him, and anyway, he was sold into slavery, and we know he went into prison. But there was quite a few years there that he could have said, well, I think God's forsaken me. You know, it seems like every time I turn around, you know, I'm going the wrong way, not the way I want to go. But God blessed him everywhere he went in the prison. And anyway, he was put in there in Egypt, and he was put right under the ruler of that land. And God warned him of the famine coming, and he prepared wisely. And it saved his family and many other lives, his obedience to the Lord. In Matthew 18:21, it says, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how often shall thy brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not until thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And it wasn't the exact amount the Lord was referring to, but just being continual forgiver and over, not keeping track. But that's what he wants us all to do. And verse 23 says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven like to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So Jesus is speaking here, red letters, and so his words says, Heavenly Father is going to do the same to us if we are unforgiving. We hold grudges, and, you know, we're not going to make it in heaven like that. And this debt he paid was a great debt. It was a comparison to several million dollars in today's money. But there's no way he could pay it. But it was a great debt. And just the same as each of us, you know, we owed a great debt, and we couldn't pay. But Jesus came and forgave us, so we ought to forgive others, you know, the much smaller debt that they may owe us. And many times at work in the past few years, I got upset. You know, we have different departments. One's fitters and some welders, and, you know, all the we have to work together to make the same product all at the end, it comes out, you know, finished product, but we all put our part into it. But if one doesn't do his job properly, it makes it harder on the next. And I've got upset a few times and, you know, got frustrated and said some things I shouldn't say, you know, telling others about it. And then God dealt with me, and, you know, it may be a week, it may be longer, you know, Lord just wouldn't leave me alone. And finally I had to go to that individual and tell him, you know, I said something bad about you I shouldn't have said, you know, I got upset. And the fellow took it really good. He said, well, that, no big deal, you know, just forget about it, you know. And many times been driving down the road and people poking along in front of me, I'm one that's got a lead foot. And I guess because of work, I'm always in a hurry, and it's been that way for years, and I'm just excited and just constantly go, 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 you know. And then I get on the road, I'm the same way, and someone poking along from me, it really gets under my skin quick. And the Lord's had to deal with me about that. And see another back there. So you know what it's like. But sometimes I kind of get a little heated under the collar, and the Lord has to deal with me about it. But I need to learn, you know, to calm down and just pace myself, and everything will be all right. And in Psalms 103, in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions. And I don't think any of us could measure that far. You know, it just keeps it going in opposite directions. And that's a long ways for the Lord to cast our sins away from us. And I'm thankful that we have such a merciful God and is so slow to anger. You know, he's not... wanting to get as excited as we do many times. He's wanting us to learn patience and treat others with respect and love, you know. And it's a hard life lesson to learn in life a lot of times, I mean, because of situations, but that's what he expects of us. In Psalms 103 and 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. This righteousness unto his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. So that mercy is to those that do his commandments. And we can't live just any old way and think it's going to be all right. There is coming a time we'll stand before the Lord and give an account, each and every one of us alone before the Lord. We can't blame it on so-and-so, you know. We're going to be looking at ourselves. And the Lord will ask us, you know, why we did what we did. But Psalms 145 in verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. And the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So once again, we have a compassionate God, slow to anger, and of great mercy. And we are blessed because of that. And Proverbs 10 and 12. It says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And when we get crossways with everybody and we get to running our mouth and we get to acting wrong way, you know, it stirs up strife, that hatred, and that we need that love that covers all sins, and we want it for ourselves, we must give it to others as well. In Proverbs 17 and 19, it says, he loveth transgressions that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. So he loveth transgressions that loveth strife. And those that stir up strife, bickering all the time, and, you know, just getting crossways with everyone they come in contact with. It says, he loveth transgressions. And the Bible tells another place, I can't quote it exactly word for word or tell you where it's found, but it says, where there's strife, there's ever evil work. And the the gate is opened up to the devil, you know, to come in and work when that strife is there. So we don't want strife in our life. We got to be a forgiver and get over our little problems. And even preachers, you know, we're human. We all have our personalities. Some are needing a little more help than others. And I'm not going to mention any names, but we can look at Jonah, that God called him to go and preach for him. And his response was not what we would want to have. Jonah ran in the opposite direction. It says in Jonah 1 and 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." So he ran the opposite direction the Lord told him to go. He was not willing to submit to the Lord and obey him until the Lord gave him a little attitude of judgment, adjustment. You know, the whale that swallowed him and carried him around for 3 days and then spit him out on the beach. And, you know, I bet he was a dandy thing to see at that time. But, you know, it'd been much better to go in the first place. But here in chapter 3, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overtaken. So the people in Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, and let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God seen their heart, how they humbled themselves and repented. And you know, it's quite an amazing thing, wicked people as they were at that day. You know, the king all the way down through the whole kingdom, they all turned immediately to the Lord in that one preacher's message. And I think I would have been celebrating and shouting, you know, but here Jonah is still upset. Said it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he went and prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I'm thankful the Lord doesn't answer all of our prayers. He's praying a pretty rough prayer there, you know. I don't think he really wanted what he is asking for. And it's like the pastor said, now that you got what you asked for, do you want what you got? You know, it was preached a few years ago. But here, Jonah's still having problems. And anyway, we'll get down to the last couple of verses. It says, Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So God was being merciful to a lot of people there. And Jonah here, he didn't appreciate what the Lord had done. He's still complaining. He's still angry. And I think after what I'd already been through, you know, I'd think twice about having that kind of an attitude. But Jonah was a little hard-hearted, I guess. But here in Micah 7:18, it says, "Who is a God likened to thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. And he will subdue our iniquities. And I will cast all their sin to the depths of the sea." And once again, the Lord separating our sins from us when we have that right attitude. We repent and come to him in the right way. That we are a blessed people to have such a good God. In Luke 6:31... It says, "And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them to whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met, withal it shall be measured to you again." In this giving, it pretty much, I believe, is talking about as the mercy that you give. As you give it, you're going to receive it in what same measure. So it's not just giving money and receiving, but it's also how you treat others, as it tells us there. As ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. In Romans 5:6, so when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So when we were yet in sin, we were not living to please God. We were just doing our own thing out there, trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh, just satisfying our own selves. God was looking down, and he still had compassion on us. He still loved us. He didn't like what we were doing, didn't condone it, and he wanted us to change, but still, he laid down his life for that type of people. In Acts 7:55, it says, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." And there is a good example to follow. You know, one having his own life taken while he was just serving the Lord, doing good. And he never held it against him. He just said, Father, forgive him. And if he had unforgiveness, I don't know, it may kept him out of heaven. I don't know, but we know here that he did ask the Lord to forgive him, and he went right into the presence of Jesus there. He could see him before he went in. In 1 John 1 and 8, says, if we say that we love, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things are written to you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is just looking for us to humble ourselves and ask him for forgiveness. And he said he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And we're not hiding anything from him. He already knows all about what we've done. So there's no need to not ask. And if you watch a ball game, a baseball game, and the bases are loaded, and the batter knocks the ball over the fence and goes out of the park and makes a home run, all those runners come in, plus he himself, they scored 4 points right there. And the same with the devil. You know, when he talks someone into doing something wrong and he affects them to go do something to someone else and they are unforgiving, he's got more than one there caught all at once. You know, the one that's done the wrong and the one that's unforgiving. And we are affecting our own selves when we hold grudges and we don't forgive people. So we don't want to give the devil that privilege, you know, to score more than once. You know, we don't want him to score at all, but we just need to pray one for another and forgive others. And we can look at the story of the prodigal son, you know, the one that he went out and lived righteously and his money ran out, much like mine did while I was out in California, and I'm wondering, what am I going to do? Couldn't find a job, didn't think that one through, just took off. And you know, when I got really serious with God and got to praying, that's when the Lord gave me that scripture, Proverbs there, and he told me to come on back home. And I didn't argue with him. I get on back home, and I think I'd had like 3 meals that week, and it was kind of a lesson that I didn't forget. And I think those meals was like a little carton of milk and a tuna fish sandwich and a bag of chips. You know, that would be like an appetizer for now, you know. But it was kind of lean times, but it got my attention. But I got back home, and, you know, I should have prayed, Lord, is this your will, or what do you want me to do? Before I left, instead of just jumping in the truck and taking off, you know. But the prodigal son, he pulled much the same thing. You know, he took his inheritance, and he went off and spent it all, had a good time, but then all of a sudden his friends disappeared. Here he is left, you know, wondering, you know, what am I going to do? Had nothing to eat. And he decided, well, I'll humble my heart and go back and apologize to my dad and ask him if he'll receive me as a servant. When he went back, that father welcomed him home with open arms. And the brother that seen him coming back, you know, he asked one of the servants, what's going on? What's all the music about, the celebration? And he wasn't as joyous about his return as his father was, and he was a little bitter. But we don't want to be that way. You know, when someone comes back and they've gone the wrong path, they've come back and got right, we need to be quick to welcome them back and, you know, pray for them and help them. But Jesus also set a good example when he was on Calvary there in his last moments, and he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He knew that it was the devil that was influencing them to do the things they did, but he was playing right into the hands of Jesus, you know, his plan. That was the whole purpose for him coming, to die for our sins. But it had to be done and fulfilled. But he said, Father, forgive him. He was a forgiver right up to the last moment. And Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And just the opposite is true. If we do not show mercy, we will not receive it. So we don't want to be like the Hatfields McCoys. I heard the story, I believe it's a true story, that years ago the two families were feuding. I think one stole a pig or something from the other, and it started a lot of unforgiveness and fighting and bickering back and forth for a long period of time. And the Hatfields, I'm not talking about Brother Noah, but it's a different family. But I don't know if he's related. Not, it might be way back. But anyway, I don't know how much damage was done over the years, but it really doesn't make sense, you know, to be like that. And the longer we hold a grudge and fight with someone else, the more damage is done. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to be quick to forgive. And back when I was a young welder in the shop, and I was talking to a preacher friend, I was out of church there for a while, and he kept inviting me to church, and he kept after me. His name was Robert Watson, I believe is his name. But he was called to be a preacher in Chicago, a rough place to start out. But anyway, he told me, you know, I was fixing to get married right after, just before he left. And he said, be quick to be the one to give in, you know, if you and your wife have disagreements, you know, be the one that says, let her have her way, you know, and apologize or whatever. Don't just keep a grudge towards one another. And I haven't always followed that advice, but I've regretted it when I didn't. But, you know, we need to be that way towards our spouse, no matter who we are. You know, we need to show love towards them and be grateful for them. And like I said earlier, none of us are going to make it in heaven without being a forgiver. We got to learn to do it. And there was in John 8 and 4... this little lady was caught in the act of adultery, and there was a crowd gathered there, and they were quick to condemn her and wanting to stone her. And they said unto him, Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground, as though he had not heard them not. And so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And it doesn't tell us what he was writing, but I believe it was probably something that they had done. You know, it was convicting each of them, and they seen it, and they decided, well, maybe I better leave her alone. So they all left. It says, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And Jesus wasn't condoning adultery. It wasn't what he was getting at. He was saying, Go and sin no more. He was showing mercy and being long-suffering, patient with her, and showing kindness and hope that she would repent and get her life right. If she went on continuing in the same path, condemnation would come her way when she stood before God. He would judge her one day. But here, he gave her another opportunity. He showed her a second chance. And Jesus many times does us the same. He has given us long-suffering, patience, and forgives us. We need to learn from it. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So if we do like the people in Nineveh did there, and they heard the message from Jonah, they humbled themselves, they prayed, and they seek the face of the Lord, turn from their wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven, and He will heal their land. And I think that's all I got tonight, Pastor. I'll just turn it back to you.